Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilt of Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The programme is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Morena, welcome to the Fem Rants Show. You are on Quilted Bananas Radio on Access Radio 106.1 FM. I always love listening to that sting and listening to all of the voices on that introduction, and those are some of the people who are in our radio collective. There's a few more exciting people in our collective now, so maybe we'll have to record a new sting at some point. Maybe we could get Fiona to lead us in harmonising and singing together or something. It's just a lovely little idea that popped in. Fiona is in the Glamophones, so that's an amazing big queer and trans choir in Wellington. So when I look at Fiona across the desk, I think about singing. So welcome this morning, Ngau Mai, Haere Mai. We are here in Whanganui Atara. We are on the lands of Te Atiawa, Taranaki Whānui and Ngāti Tō Rangatira, Ngā Mihi Nui Kia Koutou. And this morning, this is the Fem Rants Show. I'm Sian Quinnell Torrington, and often this show is about art and poetry and a space where I think of it as a space where you're allowed to feel things. So we have big activist kind of conversations about what we can do to be part of changing our world, and we feel the feelings around what that is like, and love and art and sunsets and all sorts of things that we have feelings about. And this week, one of our great and brilliant artists passed over, died this week. So Andrea Gibson died on the 14th of July. They were 49 and they died of ovarian cancer. And if you don't know who Andrea Gibson is, and I have encountered a number of people this week who said, "Oh, I don't know who that is," and I keep saying, "You're so lucky. You've got an amazing, amazing journey ahead of you listening to this person who is a huge feeling person and is also a hugely gifted person in terms of translating those feelings into words, spoken word, rhythmic word, word which lifts us up and opens our hearts and motivates us to be part of the world and love the world. I feel like that was one of Andrea Gibson's biggest messages, was about loving the world that we're in and loving each other. So I'm going to use this show to celebrate people who feel a lot, which I think is probably all of us, but we don't always have really great ways to access those feelings or express those feelings or share those feelings in company. So I have been doing some projects. I've started calling them heart work. So thank you, Bronwyn Haynes, for that beautiful term, for that work where I create spaces where people can have a creative experience, have their feelings reflected back to them in an artwork. So I make artworks in response to words that people choose for how they feel right now and gift them that artwork to take with them. And it's been really fascinating doing that project in different forms in public spaces, and the conversations that I have around what I'm doing and the concerns that some people have about doing that in public, like I'm doing something dangerous. So I just did an iteration of this called Broken Heart Repair at the Repair Cafe a couple of weekends ago, and one lovely, lovely person said to me, "Oh, what happens? What do you do if someone just starts screaming?" And I thought, wow, we really live in spaces where there isn't enough practice of feeling our feelings and that actually being okay. So it was just so fascinating, because it was like this person with heaps of care, like that's what she was expressing, like, how are you gonna are you gonna be okay, how are you gonna look after this if this happens? She had gone to an extreme of behavior that might happen in that space, and that told me that, yeah, that we're holding a lot, that people are holding a lot, and that was her first thought, that someone might start screaming. So this show is a space to invite feeling, and what I've been taught by brilliant meditation teachers over the years is that when our feelings are big, we need more space for those feelings. So they would guide us through these amazing meditations where you imagined that the boundaries of your body softened and you became an enormous, enormous, enormous pink cloud. So pink is the color of compassion in Buddhism. So you're like in this, you know, those really big, fluffy, fluffy, beautiful clouds, and it's pink, and that is how much space there is for whatever feeling is with you this morning. So we're going to open this space by playing a song by Björk, who is an amazing big feelings person. And it's not a banger, it's a feeler. So enjoy what comes up and let it diffuse, let it spread, and be welcome in your big pink cloud.
Accidents that happen, follow the dot. Coincidence makes sense only with you. You don't have to speak, I feel. Emotional landscape. be.
We can't have all of that beautiful, beautiful track because we've got lots coming up in this show. So we're gonna, I'm gonna play some amazing recordings of Andrea Gibson, and also we have me and my wonderful partner Creek had a conversation about all of the queer films that we have identified in the International Film Festival. So we thought that we would do that work for you, and then we will post all of those movies. There's 19 of them that we identified. We'll post a list on our Facebook page so that you don't have to like interpret their write-up about it and figure out which are the queer films, because they haven't put any kind of symbol on the films, which is always really useful. And I will just mention right now that Creek has been doing a thing on their show saying, oh, this is the thing that you can like jump out of bed, put your pants on and go to. So I'm going to give you a bit more warning that I've had a couple of people who cannot come to Queer and Trans Drawing Club this afternoon. So if you would like to put your pants on at some point this morning and come to Queer and Trans Drawing Club in Lower Hutt at the Hutt Arts Centre, please send me an email or DM me on social media. I'm very easy to find. I'm either Sian Quinnell Torrington or SianTorrington@gmail.com. So find me and come along and do some drawing. So I just wanted to, while I'm on events, just mention another really wonderful event that is coming up, which will be a really fabulous way to be together and be in solidarity and feel lots of feelings, because Wellington Pride Festival are screening one of my favourite movies, which is called Pride, which I always cry at and experience a lot of pride because it's set in Wales, and that's my whakapapa. And so it's like, it's gay and it's Wales and it's activism, and it's a very, very beautiful film. So they're doing a series of fundraisers at the moment, the Wellington Pride are. And so this is happening. It's a film and bake sale. It's on Sunday the 10th of August at 2:57, which is that venue which is on Willis Street. It's upstairs, so but there is a lift. So check out their Instagram and Facebook for all of the details. But it doors open at 12:30 and the film starts at 1 o'clock. There's going to be an intermission and there's going to be a sing-along there. So I'm very excited about that event. Now, coming back to Andrea Gibson. So I got to see Andrea Gibson when I was in San Francisco probably about a decade ago. And I was so, 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 so excited. And it was, of course, absolutely packed. And it was amazing. And they did this thing where, because not everyone could see very well because there were so many people, they said, do you think there's any chance that we could all sit down on the floor? And so people So people did that. And what I remember is it all kind of happening at once, and like the intimacy of sitting down and, oh, are you okay? Yeah, okay. And being really close to each other was very, very beautiful. So I've chosen two Andrea Gibson tracks to play for you this morning, and they are both about love, and they are about different ways that love exists and that we express love. And this first one, which is called Honey, I've been listening to this week, and I thought, this is what my love is like. Both sides of this song, this is what it's like. So this is Honey.
She keeps her makeup in a ceramic bowl of bullets beside a jelly jar full of gardenias on an old dresser in Mississippi, where outside tomato plants grow in the bellies of old boats, and she carries a knife just in case she finds something she wants to carve her name into. I swear to God, if I had an Adam's apple, I would tell her to peel it and take a bite. Meaning this time, I am not turning back. I am not turning in. I am turning over every leaf of all my leaving. I am moonlighting as the moonlight. My shine is working overtime. Just to hear her call me honey, it makes me feel like the bee's knees. Like I could finally lose my past, like the keys to the getaway car. Like all my fucking up might finally be out of gas. Like there will be no more war fought in my name. What if my name is nothing but honey? Do you realize I gave up on this in my 20s? You were the first thing I ever wrote on a vision board. I cannot wait to tell you the truth, better than I have ever told the truth before. And no, that does not mean I'm gonna tell you you look like Marilyn Monroe, but you do, and it makes me wanna run for president. Jesus fucking Kennedy, do you have any idea how gorgeous you are when you're tripping? Literally tripping? I have never met anyone more clumsy. You walk into a room and turn every head when you crash to the floor, and I'm like, that's my girl. That is my girl, with a busted lip, and no, she's not embarrassed. That's a sunburn she already had from my moonlight. Now bring me a Shirley Temple. I'm gonna trampoline every inch of cement in this town, and she's gonna teach me how to bounce back, mixing her Southern polite with her New Orleans fuck off honey. I wanna hear every story about your whole life. Tell me again about your ghetto blaster birthday cake. Tell me again how you're a master pumpkin carver. Tell me again how you've never been to therapy. Why does that turn me on? You have a friend who tattooed the words you wish on her ring finger. I have a friend who pulled out her tampon on the streets of Manhattan and threw it at a misogynist cop. We are perfect for each other. Come drink like a fish in my desert city. I want to be the fairy in your Irish pub. I want to be your pretty boy. I want you to tell all your friends you're out of my league, so I can slap you high five when I'm sliding into home. So when I start writing down our love in public poems, you know you can burn all of my books if I don't live up to my word. If you ever have any doubt that I am gonna live up to the altitude of your highest hopes, remember it was for you that I overcame my fear of flying, for you that I learned the ropes of rescue remedy. Do not, under any circumstances, rip off the top of the bottle and start chugging it like booze. You'll freak out everyone on the plane, and you don't need enemies at 30,000 feet, trust me. Honey, you just need to know, this is the first time I've ever done this without looking for an exit row, and I'm pretty sure my seat can't float, but I've already fallen to the sky for you, already said no to the parachute, already told my mother, you curse like a sailor, and you love like the war is finally over, and you have just come home, and you are running down the dock in the harbor screaming my name. You're screaming honey, honey, and I'm screaming don't trip, and you're screaming honey, honey, and I'm screaming baby don't fall down. I am running for your red lips, I am running for your red heart, with my red heart, red as a Mississippi sunset. Honey, honey, honey.
Kia ora, welcome back. So that was Andrea Gibson with Honey. And You're with the Fam Rants Show with Sian Cornell Torrington on Access Radio 106.1 FM. I wanted to read a little piece to you from a wonderful new book, which I'm recommending to everyone, by Jo Randerson, who is a non-binary, brilliant theatre maker, director and writer. It's called Secret Art Powers: How Creative Thinking Can Achieve Radical Change. And this is about feelings. In closed mindsets, feelings can get stuck and stagnate and become violent. Intense feelings need outlets. If they are not released, they will eventually explode. Art can allow emotional shifts to occur in the same way that micro tremors in the earth relieve tectonic pressure, sometimes small, sometimes large. I often cry when listening to music. I don't know exactly why or what is shifting in me, but I always feel better afterwards. Something has been released. Laughter does the same thing. One of the most moving experiences I've had was watching a clown work with a member of the public in the street. We were doing a project called Dress Up Jam, where passing children were encouraged to wear a piece of costume, play a character, and fool around for a bit. An older gentleman came past with a weary, tough face. He looked like someone who'd partied a lot in his youth. Scene. Older gentleman. OG. Look at you idiots. What do you call this? Joe, defensively. We're just trying to provide an opportunity for young people to express themselves. OG. Well, you're stupid. You're the worst clowns I've ever seen. Joe's clown colleague, Thomas, intervenes. Thomas. You're right. We are terrible. The worst. OG. Absolutely. The worst I've ever seen. Pause. Thomas. I bet you're quite good at role-playing. OG. Better than you, probably. Thomas. You could probably do a role-play right now. OG's face shifts. His eyebrows lift. His face opens wide. He is suddenly like a little boy. OG, softly. What shall we do? Thomas, handing him a prop stethoscope. Maybe I'm a doctor and you're a patient. OG, taking the stethoscope immediately. Oh, doctor, I have a terrible pain. Thomas, I can see your pain. OG, it's eating me alive. I can't bear it. Thomas, where is your pain? OG, tapping his chest. It's right here in my heart. Doctor, can you help me? I hate everything. End. I stood there amazed. How did that happen? Thomas had spoken to him for no more than a minute, and here they were, directly addressing this man's inner ache. They continued talking for a while. The man shared his bitterness, his anger at the world. After 15 minutes or so, the man departed. I remember that he was whistling as he walked away. This interaction didn't solve his lifelong issues, but it was a moment of temporary assistance, a small release valve. So that is from Secret Art Powers by Jo Randerson. It's just been released this week. I recommend it very highly. It's full of fun and genius advice and ways of being in the world that are different to our stuck ways that they describe sometimes as like being in concrete. So I want to share another Andrea Gibson piece of brilliance. And this piece, I just want to do a content warning. This piece of art mentions suicide and war and love, and it is a big feeling piece. So I'm inviting you to decide whether that's a good piece for you to listen to right now. I always find these pieces uplifting rather than downlifting, and inviting that big pink cloud as a space where whatever you feel is welcome. And this piece is also about love, and it's about Radical Love in the World. It's called Etiquette Leash.
I want a good heart. I want it to be made of good stuff. I want the stained glass window builder to be my drinking buddy. I want to drink only the punch of a million genderqueer school kids taking free martial arts lessons to survive recess. I stopped calling myself a pacifist when I heard Gandhi told women they should not physically fight off their rapists. I believe there is such a thing as a nonviolent fist. I believe the earth is a woman muzzled, beaten, tied to the coal-slinging tracks. I believe the muzzled have every right to rip off the Bible belt and take it to the patriarchy's ass. I know these words are going to get me in trouble. It is never polite to throw back the tear gas. Just like it's never polite to bring enough life rafts. They crowd the balconies where the wealthy shine their jewels. But sometimes love, sometimes real love, is fucking rude. Is interrupting a wedding mid-vow, just as a congregation is about to cry, to stand up in your pew, to say, is everyone here clear on how diamonds are mined? Hallelujah. To every drag queen at Stonewall who made weapons out of her stiletto shoes, hallelujah. To the blues, keeping the neighborhood awake, to the activist standing in the snow outside of the circus, holding a 10-foot photograph of a baby elephant in chains when it's probably some little kid's birthday, hallelujah. To making everyone uncomfortable, to the terrible manners of truth, to refusing to clean the blood off the plate, bend this spine into a bow I can pull across the cello of my speak up love, readies its heart's teeth, chews through the etiquette leash, takes down the cell phone tower after millions of people die in wars in the Congo fighting for the minerals that make our cell phones, love blows up the dam, chains itself to the redwood tree, to the Capitol building when a trailer of Mexican immigrants are found dead on a South Texas roadside, love insists well-intentioned white people officially stop calling themselves colorblind, insist hope, lace its fucking boots, always calls out the misogynist, racist, homophobic joke, refuses to be a welcome mat where hate wipes its feet, love asks questions at the most inappropriate times, overturns the Defense of Marriage Act, then walks the pride parade, asking when the plight of poor single mothers will ignite our hearts into action like that. Love is not polite. Deadlocks rush hour traffic with 100 stubborn screaming bikes, hallelujah. To every suffrage movement hunger strike, hallelujah. To insisting they get your pronouns right, hallelujah. To tact never winning our spines, to taking our power all the way back to that first glacier that had to learn how to swim, to not turning our heads from a single ugly truth, to knowing we live in a time when beauty recruits its models outside the doors of eating disorder clinics. That is not a metaphor. This is not a line to a poem. An Indian farmer walks into a crowd of people and stabs himself in the chest to protest the poisoning of his land. A Buddhist monk burns himself alive in the crowded streets of Saigon. A U.S. soldier hangs himself wearing his enemy's dog tags around his holy neck. May my heart be as heavy as a tuba in the front row of the Mardi Gras parade 5 months after Katrina. May it weigh the weight of the world, so it might anchor the sun, so it might hold me to my own light, till I am willing to sweat as much as I cry, till I am willing to press into the clay of our precious lives a window. Might our grace riot the walls down. May the drought howl us awake. May we rush into the streets to do the work of opening each other's eyes. May our good hearts forever be too loud to let the neighbors sleep.
So that was Andrea Gibson. Thank you for everything you gave us, Andrea. And I've been communing with you this week through these recordings and talking to you in the clouds. So if this is the first time you're discovering their work, you can find them on Instagram and online. And I recommend having a good bath in all of that goodness. So for the rest of the show, we've got a conversation between me and Creek about the queer films that are in the International Film Festival. And I think we're going to lose the end of our interview because we're going to run out of time. But let's listen from now. Kia ora.
Okay, so welcome to our little conversation about the, what is it called, Creek? The Wellington International Film Festival, which happens every year in Whanganui Atara, Wellington. Oh, and actually all over the country. It's just because we live here that we think it's just in Wellington, but it isn't. It's right. In all sorts of places like Tāmaki and Masterton and Napier and all over the place. So
yeah.
This little conversation will be relevant to everyone all over the country.
That's right.
So every year this program is released, and Creek, my darling husband and wife, and I actually have a little ritual around this film festival, which is that we get two film festival booklets and yeah. we look at them separately
yeah.
and choose our films, because we are both big personalities and we influence each other too much otherwise. And then we compare our films and we see whether there are any overlaps. And that's how we start deciding what films we might go together and what films we might go to separately. Now, this year, dear listeners, we have broken all of our rules and protocols because there is such a high number of queer films in this festival. And we thought we simply must review some of these and share our favorites. So Creek, can you please tell our listeners how many rainbow films there are this year?
There are, by my count, and when we say rainbow, we're just saying ones that have queer themes or characters explicitly discussed in the blurb. There might be films that are queer by virtue of the director being queer or something like that, but the answer is 19. 19 where it's plain, evident, or explicitly clear, or sort of apparent that it's a queer movie right across the LGBTTIQA plus MVPFAFF plus spectrum. Yeah, so we're spoilt for choice this year. It's a little bit like the, do you remember either of the New Zealand Aotearoa used to have? It's had two different queer film festivals. Historically, our community used to have, there was the Outtakes Film Festival many years ago, probably 20 years ago, and then the Real Queer Festival.
Mm.
And both of those have subsided. So it's really great that this International Film Festival has really got a chock-a-block quantity of queer movies.
It's true. And so when we say that we've chosen these movies, of course they don't do anything as simple as putting a symbol or, you know, some kind of rainbow flag or something to indicate which are the queer films. So
no, they Creek, used to, but now
used
they don't.
To, quite useful. So Creek yeah. has read through the whole program and then submitted to me films that we could discuss. So we're
19.
Not going to discuss all 19 movies because we feel like that would be overload, but we are putting a list of all 19 movies that we have identified into a post on our Facebook page. Now, if listeners find more than those 19, we would be absolutely delighted to be notified through the Facebook page of more queer films that are in this festival to share with people.
Yep.
So, Creek, we're going to talk about six of these movies, which we are our picks, which we are going to go and see these movies.
Yep.
And we think they sound great. And the obvious film to start with is a film. It is called Lesbian Space Princess.
That's right.
Could there be a better title?
I don't think so.
It says, and this is very meaningful for me because I am a person who unbelievably has been called too clingy in my life. So the blurb says, dumped on her 23rd birthday for being too clingy, anxious Prince Saira Shabana Aziz may yet again endure the humiliation of standing in the single zone at the annual lesbian ball. The young space princess has led a sheltered life and even holds the title of most boring royal in the history of Clitopolis, where she lives with her glamorous queen mums. And then she goes on a big adventure, traveling in a bigoted spaceship from the 21st century. Saira's intergalactic quest is a laugh out loud kinky adventure. Fans of Adventure Time and Steven Universe will adore the vibrant animation and captivating characters in this rip-roaring debut feature, which won top LGBTQIA plus honors at Berlin this year.
That is right. And it's from Australia, so that's very near to home. And I've been missing Australian comedies. Like, remember the golden age of Australian comedies, like Muriel's Wedding and The Castle? They used to do all these great movies. And then suddenly, I don't know, the film industry sort of seems to have dried up pretty much. A little bit like Aotearoa film industry, I have to say. But anyway, yes, so that's going to be really great to see lesbian space princess animated comedy.
So it is also, we should also say, so this is also an animation. So very pleasing picture of a young, beautiful princess in enormous pink shoes, pink and purple, and lots of pink goo. So it just,
a giant pink blob in that image, yes.
What more could you want, really?
Yeah. Oh, so, yes. When we were going to review these, we actually mean we're previewing them. We don't have a magic ball. We have not been honoured with preview vision viewing sessions. Our well, again, own viewing sessions of these movies.
Unbelievably, we haven't been invited to a red carpet Shannon Creek only preview screening. Yeah. So we're just going on
the program.
Okay,
we're
so
helping you out by giving you a steer of what we've picked out from the program that we think are going to be ace movies.
Winners.
Not ace in the sense of asexual, but ace in the sense of winners.
So that's our top pick. Now, secondly, Creek, I thought we should go, you were mentioning about the Aotearoa film industry. So I thought, should we go next to our pick of the short films? Would you like to start us off talking about these?
Yes. Look, I was really tickled to see. I think the curation of this festival is really excellent. They've obviously placed queer films together. They've grouped them in this program and placed them alongside each other in the physical program that I'm referring to, the paper program. But also here, we're looking in the section called Ngā Whanaunga, Aotearoa New Zealand's best 2025 short films, and they've split the short films into two separate groupings called Program 1 and Program 2. Program 1 contains no fewer than three queer shorts out of six in that group in Program 1. So I'll just read the blurbs from all three of those that appear to me to be queer. Picking Crew, that is directed, written and edited by Tanu Ngago, but who's from
Fastwag.
Yeah. A subtle and poignant exploration of Pacifica masculinity and its queer-tinged boundaries. So that's going to be pretty great. Then there's Our Party, which is Catherine Mansfield's The Garden Party, modernised in this contemplative short, following teenage Laura, as she hosts a party up the road from a mourning family. And I've got no idea whether that this film has like a lesbian or bisexual spin in it, but we just know that Catherine Mansfield was definitely bi, queer, lesbo, sapphic kind of a person. Then there's a third one, Wild Nights, Wild Nights. The blurb for this says, Ollie's girlfriend has a shiny new ring on her finger, but it ain't from Ollie. Shades of Chapel Rowan in this sapphic, not quite love story. Better be some sex if it's not quite love. I don't know. I don't really love movies in which they like don't quite get together.
Oh, so but boring. Yeah, so get boring. Together. Get together and get it on, we say.
But according to the photo, they're like, they're dancing, you know, in a quite erotic, cuddled up way.
So yeah, there's some lips very close to the ear. So that's always a promising sort of sign.
It's a promising sign, yeah.
Now, let's go next, Creek Waddington, to a film which I feel this is not my kind of film. I will not be going to see this film, but this is Creek's choice of movie. So this is called Went Up the Hill.
Yeah. And this also comes from Aotearoa, so that's why I picked it. I was like, I want to highlight the ones that are from this country.
Comes from Aotearoa and is a perhaps influenced by the film that many of us of our sort of age may have watched as teenagers with
Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore in Ghost.
And Whoopi Goldberg,
And Whoopi Goldberg, thank you.
Yeah.
So, yes, Creek, take it away. Went up the
hill. I'll take it away and then I'll bring it back. Ghost. Well, I just thought Shades of Ghost because there's like someone who's dead and then they sort of take over the body of someone else in order to communicate something to a loved one or something. But also Ghost was kind of lesbian, wasn't it? Because like, isn't Whoopi Goldberg acting as the medium so that Demi Moore can have sex with her dead husband or vice versa? Who's dead in the movie Ghost? Demi Moore or Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Swayze is dead.
Yeah, so in order for Demi Moore to have sex with Patrick Swayze, she has sex with Whoopi Goldberg, who's the medium, who's channeling Patrick Swayze. Isn't that the story?
Well, that sounds very exciting. It's not exactly how I remember it, but I feel like, you know, I'm 48 and I was probably watching this film when I was about 13. So I feel like it might be time for a rewatch.
Yeah, which means because you're 5.5 years older than me, so that means I must have been watching it when I was 5, and that's how I've conceived of what happens in that movie.
I love your conception. It's just beautiful. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, Went Up the Hill's version.
Went Up the Hill. Okay, here's the blurb. In an icy, shadow-stricken Christchurch, the unexpected suicide of Elizabeth has left her wife, Jill, a hollowed out shell, that is, until the mysterious arrival of Elizabeth's long absent son, Jack. He stays the night at Jill and Elizabeth's oppressive mountain abode. I'm like, where are there mountains in Christchurch? Anyway, and it quickly becomes clear that the spirit of Elizabeth has not yet departed. Instead, she has gained the ability to possess both wife and son, utilizing this ability to linger. What initially seems to be a gift from beyond, however, begins to sour when long hidden secrets of the past emerge and lines between the two begin to be crossed. Samuel Van Grinsven's sophomore effort is a wintry gothic affair that tracks the trajectory of two people adrift and the spirit between them. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so there you go. There's like, it's gothic, it's grim, there's a ghost. It's probably cinematically quite beautiful if you like that sort of thing, which I do. And there's a lesbian widow in it, and a lesbian ghost. What's not to like?
Oh, I just think it sounds terrible. Absolutely terrible. Depressing, claustrophobic, and a little bit boring. So,
claustrophobic. It says the usually pleasantly scenic Christchurch landscape is transformed into a claustrophobic ice prison. So well, Sean would hate that, but I wouldn't.
We all like different things, and that's why we're having this conversation, because you get two different opinions. Now, so let's move to Sean's pick.
What's your pick, Sean, darling?
Totally different sort of energy. So now we're moving to hot sex with night stage. So this is a gay movie, and even just the picture is very sexy, I think.
Gay as in gay man movie.
Gay man movie. Gay sexy men. So one of them's, so there's an ambitious theatre actor and a closeted politician. They have a one night stand, and then they continue with unbridled sexual desire and a mutual lust for danger.
Oh, so, you'd love that.
Oh, it just sounds fantastic. So they're having, you know, they're having hot public sex, trying to survive in heteronormative environments, while their penchant for sex and public spaces is in equal measures kinky, intense, and perilous. Vivid depictions of raw sexuality are entwined with pertinent questions. How do antiquated ideas about sex and masculinity inform our ideas about right and wrong? So I just think that sounds really wonderful, and I will definitely be going to see that. The more I think about sex, even in 2025, the more antiquated I think many ideas still are that are rolling around and rattling around in our lives. So I'm up for anything which is just exploring that and giving us some different ideas and some energy around that. It calls it a daring and provocative work that defies genre and pushes boundaries, creating a vibrant, compelling exploration of the concept of desire. Fabulous.
Fantastic.
So you could go and see that depressing ghost thing, and then you could come and see this and be like brought back to life and back into your body.
Well, I would like listeners to know that I also am a sex positive individual who also enjoys racy movies about sex, queer sex. I just like many things. So I also like creepy Christchurch based gothic, potentially quite slow moving and meaningful horrors.
So should we move on, Creek, to I've Heard the Mermaid Singing?
I've Heard the Mermaid Singing. Oh yes, that's in the classics section.
Yeah, so this is where they show cinema classics and recently restored films. So they're not new films, but this was a film that, well, certainly I've never heard of this. Have you ever heard of it? It's a 1987 movie.
Well, I'm five in 1987, so no, I have not heard of this. I mean, I've heard of Ghost, which also might be a 1987 movie, but it was extremely mainstream and famous, whereas possibly a lesbian art world movie from Canada was not so much famous.
So...
Would you like to read us the blurb from this one, darling?
I'll read this. So it says it's a Cannes awarded shoestring budget, 1987 debut. So Polly has decided it's time to tell her story into a home video camera of the time she went to work for a chic Toronto art gallery and became privy to more than she'd bargained for. Polly's temp, and I love this, Polly's temp agency describe her as organizationally impaired. But despite her klutzy demeanor and tendency to lose focus in whimsical daydreams in which she is more self-assured and successful than in reality, she is hired as a secretary to gallery Maven Gabrielle, The curator is deeply discontented due to her thwarted ambitions as an artist and her tortured feelings for the young woman she is having a secret affair with. But Polly quickly becomes fixated by her glamour. Polly, a dedicated photographer in her spare time, has her own private yearning to have her talents recognised in an offbeat and charming film that refuses to take itself too seriously, but has much to say about imposter syndrome, self-belief and solidarity, and the double standards of a male-dominated art world where brutal rejection is commonplace. So as an artist and a queer person, I'm very interested in that film. And also interested in how they portray these two people who obviously are artists but are feeling frustrated in that being. And that's a big part of why I put so much energy into my life, into not just trying to make my own art but encouraging other people to make art, because it is a thing that is part of who you are and something that you need to express, just like being queer. It's just who you are and you need to express it. And if you don't express it, then things go weird inside you. So I think there's a real similarity between having that gift of creativity and being an artist and being queer. So I think that sounds like a great movie.
It's also a great lesson that many artists have to learn, isn't it? That in order to pursue that passion, it's actually not the best strategy to get a low paid work in galleries and in the arts. They don't enhance your career. They do tend to cause you to build resentment. They don't actually open doors and opportunities for you. Like working in a gallery as a kind of an assistant or an attendant does not open doors for you to be an artist, and you're actually much better off. This is old person speaking wisdom to the young, if you're listening. You are much better off to find part-time work or contract work that is much better paid and separate like 2 days of your week or some portion of your week so that you can dedicate that spare time to your art. And make the other job that's just your other job pay for it. Don't worry about what it is. Doesn't have to be in the arts. And there's no shame in it not being in the arts. In fact, it's a bit of a trick and a trap that they do to exploit aspiring artists, is sort of entice them into low paid jobs in the arts under the pretense that there'll be some kind of corollary career success result from doing that kind of work, but it just doesn't.
Absolutely. The only thing that matters is making your art, is expressing
yourself. No matter what.
So whatever enables you to do that is the thing to choose
to do. That's right.
Right, so excuse me, our final film choice, 6 of 6, is called The Mysterious Gaze of the Flamingo. And it says, battles bigotry with both vengeance and compassion, embodied by a committed cast of trans and genderqueer performers in leading roles. Yay! So
yay.
This film is from, well, it says Chile, France, Germany, Spain, and Belgium.
Yep.
So I don't know if that means it's shot in all of those places.
Yeah, hard to know what they mean by that, eh? Like, it could be shot in all those places, or it could be that some of the post-production was done in those places, or that sort of funding and input comes from those places. Don't know what it means, but yeah. Do you want to read the blurb? Shall I read the blurb?
You read the blurb.
All right, listen up. The Mysterious Gaze of the Flamingo. Love can be a dangerous game, and words can spark the wildest of rumours. In a remote mining town in the 1980s AIDS-era Chile, 11-year-old Lydia floats through the lives of the trans women who reside in a communal house banished to the desert. Despite their exile, Celebration, empathy, and support are staples of the household presided over by the matriarch, Mama Boa. Lydia and her elegant mother figure, Flamingo, share a particularly formidable bond. However, as an incurable disease spreads through the area, so does a myth akin to witchcraft, which brands trans women as predators, accused of hunting men to contaminate them through a single gaze. With strong Western themes, a Morricone-esque score, Morricone being the famous composer of Western film soundtracks, mixed with magical realism, one of Sian Torrington's favourite genres, the mysterious gaze of the flamingo develops through unspoken acts and unorthodox situations. Full of humour, compassion and tragedy, this debut feature from Diego Céspedes won the Uncertain Regard Prize at Cannes this year. I think that's how they say it in France. Yeah. So, it's sort of like a Western. And it seems like there's, yeah, a lot of different emotions in the movie. And that is the only film that the entire program has that mentions transgender people altogether. So that's why we picked that one. Whether it ultimately is a sad movie or not, I can't tell. But I know that, you know, like lots of people, they don't want to go and see movies about people who are like them that end sadly or badly. Like a lot of lesbians hate going to movies where everybody dies. The lesbians die at the end or they have to break up at the end. They're separated, that kind of thing. And fair enough. So if that one sounds a bit tragic and you don't want to go, just don't go. There's 19 other movies you can go to that are queer in this festival.
Oh, kia ora. So we are missing the end of this conversation from this show, but we will endeavour to upload the whole conversation to our Mixcloud and share that to Facebook. And now up on our Facebook page are the rest of the 19 movies that you can...
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.